ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is the NT Country Hour on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory.
G'day there, my name's Matt Brann. Welcome to the program. On the Country Hour this afternoon, a word of warning about an online scam that targets people who are looking to buy cattle.
We have had people duplicating our website, so literally page by page, photo by photo. And unfortunately, we have been contacted by people who thought they've been dealing with us and have paid money to the duplicated site.
I'll tell you more about that soon. Also today, concerns that lawyers and investors are taking the majority of the money in successful class actions.
I'd like to see them get what our family got. They get that in an hour, what our family would get in a year. You know, it's woeful.
And I will be taking you to Hart's Range before 1:30 this afternoon. It's been a big few days of racing, rodeo and camp drafting. It's a really big Country Hour today. I hope you can stick around. We are broadcasting right across the territory on the ABC. It is a public holiday. It's picnic day. The Darwin Cup is on this afternoon. I am feeling generous, so it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Country Hour sweepstake. It's here and the rules are simple. You just need to text in your name, where you are from, to 0487 991057. It's a first-in, best-dressed sort of competition. So the first 12 text messages this afternoon will be assigned a horse in this afternoon's Darwin Cup. As for the prize, oh my goodness, it's a good one. If you are the lucky winner in our Country Hour Darwin Cup sweepstake, you will be receiving a prized ABC Rural Stubby Holder in mint condition. They're rarer than hen's teeth, those stubby holders, so you'll get one of them. You'll also get a special edition commemorative ABC Rural tea towel. All you need to do, text in your name and where you are from to 0487 991057. The sweepstake is underway. The Darwin Cup is on this afternoon. The main race is at 5:30. Let's make our way to the Fenny Bay Racetrack now. The ABC's Tilda Colling is there this afternoon. How's it all looking out at Fenny Bay, Tilda?
Busy is the word. There are probably thousands of people here and colourful at that. We've got frocks in every different colour. The excitement is definitely in the air. You can feel it building. And it's only looking to get larger and louder this afternoon as we head towards the main race.
It was a chilly morning in the capital. What's the weather like out there right now?
Oh, I'd say cold, but I'm a Territorian, so I'd say a good solid medium. It's not too humid. The sun is out. It's feeling great. I've talked to a stable hand today who said the weather conditions are perfect, but the track is a little bit looser than she'd like, meaning the likelihood of dust kicking up and maybe obscuring some visibility for the horses behind. That is on the table. However, all in all, it's looking out to be a great day.
And so what's the talk around the track on who is best placed to take out the cup this afternoon, Tilda?
The talk around the track is Motorcade is the best placed or the most popular to take the cup this afternoon. We've seen two races already. Delusions just won in the last 10 minutes on the second race of the day. But seasoned race goers say it's anyone's bet. And even though Motorcade is tipped to be the most popular, that could change at any minute.
Rightio. Tillusion's just taken out race two. It was the second favourite. Hot diggity, I like a second favourite. Always a bit of value there. And what's on the cards for the rest of the day for you, Tilda?
Well, I'm hoping to get amongst the people. I feel a bit underdressed, to be honest, Matt. everyone here is in the most fabulous dresses in the world. But my particular favourite has been a group of men in head-to-toe Roman togas. So I'm hoping to speak to some more people about what they're wearing.
Someone's got out the old white bedsheet, hey?
I'd say a bit more fancy. We've got some gold sparkles and some red in there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there's just everything at the Darwin Cup, isn't there? From the togas to the full-blown suits and everything in between. All the best this afternoon, Tilda. Have a lovely time.
Beautiful, Matt. Thanks.
Have a great afternoon. Tilda Colley in there for ABC News. The Darwin Cup, it is on this afternoon at 5:30. If you can't make it to the track, you will be able to listen to the race right here on ABC Radio. If you want to get involved with the Country Hour sweepstake, you need to get your thumbs going quick because the spots are running out very quickly. So the number you need, 0487 99 1057. Your name, a sense on where you live in the Northern Territory, and you could be taking home that stubby holder and special edition commemorative tea towel. It's 25 to 1. Let's have a quick track, and then I will tell you about an online scam that's actually targeting people who are looking to buy cattle. Right across the territory on the ABC, you are tuned into the Country Hour. Put the phones down because the sweepstake for the Darwin Cup is locked in. Producer Fiona will be texting you in just a moment if you've been successful in getting into our sweepstake this afternoon. Darwin Cup's on at 5:30. Good luck to everyone involved. It's 20 to 1. Now, let's talk about stealing livestock. It's not a new issue. Cattle duffing's been around for yonks. But with the rise of online scams, there's a new kind of cattle stealing now taking place. There are scammers out there posing as cattle producers online, and they're using livestock images and descriptions to imitate businesses and trick potential buyers. Claudia Sullivan reports on what to keep an eye out for.
Anne Waithman owns and operates the business Miniature Highlands Australia, along with her husband, Graham Wilkinson. The pair have been breeding the cows for 7 years now. Attracted by the miniature Scottish cows' suitability for marginal country, their more manageable size, and of course, cuteness. But in the last 3 years, Miss Waithman and Mr. Wilkinson have become the repeated target of scammers.
We have had people duplicating our website, so literally page by page, photo by photo. And unfortunately, we have been contacted by people who thought they'd been dealing with us and have paid money to the duplicated site. Very upsetting for them, but also really upsetting for us. Not only have we missed out on the sale, but it's also, you know, very bad for the reputation of miniature Highland breeders.
How much money are they losing?
Well, some have said, you know, 7,000 isn't uncommon. We've had quite a few people contact us. I don't even know the number of people who don't ever even find us. Initially, we used to say, well, ask their PIC number, so their property identification code. But these people had a PIC number. I think over time, they've learnt what the Australian buyer is looking for. They know the right lingo. They don't use ranch anymore, use the American terminology. Well, now, you know, they've just got very sophisticated at providing the information that you want to hear.
Have you been able to have the webpage taken down?
It was removed briefly, but it's just popped up again. I'm a bit lost in the whole process of what to do. But I have been phoned by people who are just angry and upset, and they don't believe me. That doesn't matter what I say. They think that I've taken their money. It's upsetting, like it's your reputation on the line.
Geordie McDonnell and her husband are new to farm life, having recently bought 5 acres to raise their 3 kids. She found the Mimic site through friends tagging her on a Facebook page with a link to the webpage.
I had contacted the seller via WhatsApp, messaged back and forth of all details of price, availability, what would be good for our hobby farm, given we do have other animals, and we got all feedback, which was really suitable and really informative. They had actually invoiced us, and I paid the full amount, which included the cow and transport fee, which was $2,200. The morning of when the cow was supposed to be delivered, I went to message them again, and that was when I had been blocked on all social media and the mobile number itself. I personally just do not understand how someone can do that. you know, to another human being. I checked the transport company, the ABN, you know, the mobile number was Australian, the bank accounts was Australian. I thought that I had done the homework.
Miss McDonnell is awaiting further investigation by the police. ACCC Deputy Chair Katrina Lowe said there are steps business owners can take to protect both their customers and their business from impersonation scams, including warnings and paying for a removal service. But she acknowledged that these options have limitations, as seen in Ms. Waithman's case.
Unfortunately, it can be relatively quick, cheap and easy to set up websites, and the steps that we've outlined obviously work in relation to individual pages, but it can mean that they come back with subtle variations. This is part of the importance of the incoming scams prevention framework. That bill passed Parliament in February of this year, and it places obligations on businesses, including telcos, banks and platforms, to take steps against scams and will include minimum standards.
Who might be at risk from scams like this?
So scammers are opportunistic criminals. It's typically a numbers game, so they will target a very broad audience, but the people most at risk are, of course, people who are using or likely to use the services of an impersonated entity. Things to look out for are products that are on sale at an unusually low price compared to other websites. Websites that don't have usual livery and terms and conditions, so things like contract terms, an ABN or a privacy policy. Another clear red flag is being asked to pay in an unusual way. There are also things that people can do to protect themselves. So, for example, doing research on a seller before clicking through. Independent reviews are another really great way to find out if others have had a negative experience.
Who should you get in touch with if you have been scammed?
Firstly, do act quickly if something feels wrong. Reporting suspicious websites to ScamWatch allows us to take action. We also have a service that takes down fake websites. And look, we know that people can feel embarrassed by being victim to a scam, but the reality is it can happen to anybody and you're not alone. Scammers are sophisticated criminals. They use psychology and they use technology to make their scam convincing.
That is ACCC Deputy Chair Katrina Lowe speaking to Claudia Sullivan. If you'd like to report a scam, you can go to the federal government's website, search for scamwatch.gov.au. It is 14 to 1 and you are tuned into the Country Hour. Now, class actions are supposed to deliver justice and compensation for people who have been wronged. But an ABC Four Corners investigation is raising questions about the payouts of two major class actions for Aboriginal workers who had their wages stolen over decades in WA and also here in the Northern Territory. Anne Connolly reports.
It's one of the most shameful chapters in Australia's history. Thousands of Aboriginal men, women and children forced to work on outback stations and missions for little or no pay.
I started work when I was 13, 14 years old. I worked on the station, £3 a week.
That's George Dan. He joined a class action in WA launched by Shine Lawyers. It aimed to get George and others compensation for that unpaid work. About a year later, Shine launched another similar class action in the Northern Territory. The combined settlement was around $380 million. Of that, Shine Lawyers will take more than $41 million. The funder, a private company, Litigation Lending Services, will take up to $57 million in commission. The exact amount Aboriginal workers will receive is unclear, but Four Corners estimates they'll get between $10,000 and $14,000.
People like us work, you know, sundown to sundown and for a bag of flour. we get the scraps once again.
Former Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney questions whether First Nations people truly understood the class action they were signing on to.
It is very exploitative because you are seeing such a disparity in the outcomes for the legal teams financially and the outcomes for those that have joined the class action.
The lead plaintiffs in both cases, Minnie McDonald in the NT and Mervyn Street in WA, can't read or write. Minnie is in her 90s. One document she signed proposed an $11 million increase to Shine's costs. Shine has been paid its legal costs, but in WA, Aboriginal workers like George are still waiting.
I'd like to see them get what our family got. They get that in an hour, what our family would get in a year. You know, it's woeful.
Judges in both cases raised concerns about Shine's legal costs. In a statement, Shine lawyers said that both clients received independent legal advice and it used Aboriginal barristers to bridge communication and cultural barriers. Litigation Lending Services said their commission was lower than market rates to reflect the social justice nature of the claims. Courts ultimately approved both settlements, including legal costs and commissions.
Anne Connolly with that story. You can read more about this right now if you head along to the ABC News website, and there'll be more on Four Corners tonight on ABC TV. So this is a story about law firms and investors allegedly making millions of dollars from class actions while the victims themselves are getting thousands, much less anyway. As mentioned, Shine lawyers did not want to do an interview with Four Corners about this. I have found an interview that I did in September last year with Sarah Thompson from Shine Lawyers. So I spoke to Sarah on the day where the Commonwealth government had agreed to pay about $200 million to the successful Northern Territory stolen wages class action. And the question actually came up about who gets the money. So this is in September last year. Let's have a listen to that exchange.
So this class action came about because we looked into the fact that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples weren't getting paid all their money, their wages between 1933 and 1971, and we thought we'd do something about it. So we started the class action with Ms. Minnie McDonald. She's our lead applicant, and it sought to get compensation for people who didn't get paid all of their wages.
A few questions coming through on the text line, Sarah. One from Mark in Humpty Doo, a few from people who haven't put their names to it. And all of the questions are along the lines of, Matt, can you ask Shine lawyers how much of this money actually flows to people and how much stays with lawyers?
Yeah, that's a good question. At this stage, we won't have the figures for you because at the end of the day, it's actually up to the court to decide how much the lawyers get paid. That's a big part of the court's job, is to decide what's fair and reasonable and how much money goes to the group members and how much is going to the lawyers. But a lot of the money will go to the people.
A lot of the money will go to the people. That is Sarah Thompson from Shine Lawyers speaking to this program in September of last year. More on this story tonight. If you watch Four Corners on the text line this afternoon, someone here says, what's the difference between the amount lawyers are getting and that stolen way back when? Lawyers are stealing just as much. Someone here says, I question that phrase, we're forced to work. Maybe you should fact check that. 0487 991057 is the text number here at the Country Hour.
My name's Ashley from Bam Bam Spring Station.
I'm Jacqueline Dakin from Anthony Lagoon.
I'm Georgie from Catherine.
And you're listening to the Country Hour.
Another comment via the text line which says, if the lawyers are the ones initiating the class action, what are their motivations? 0487 991057 is the text number here at the Country Hour. If you're interested in this story, make sure you watch Four Corners tonight. Let's head over to Brisbane now, where the ECCA is getting underway. And a 35-month-old Angus bull has just been crowned the heaviest bull on show. He's called Buster. He's from New South Wales, and he has tipped the scales at 1,356 kilos of bull. His owner, Emily Scrivener, is pretty happy with the win, especially given the team was quite lucky to have actually made it to Brisbane because it involved getting through some snow.
Everyone there yesterday who's been involved with the long history of heaviest bull at the show said he's one of the heaviest they've seen go through, so that's pretty exciting. Buster loves his food. No, he's a really good doer. He lives in a pretty nice ryegrass paddock at home, and I'd say in comparison to a lot of show cattle, he hasn't seen as much grain as you probably think he would have seen. But yeah, no, he's a really good doer.
And has he stopped growing yet? Because at the Sydney Royal, he took out heaviest bull there and he was a lot lighter.
Yeah, he was 12.54 at ECCA, at Sydney, sorry. So he's put on 100 kilos since April, which wow. I was quite surprised at, because he's really just been getting enough grain to, we thought, maintain his weight between shows. And yeah, he's managed to find a little bit more.
Do you have to spend more time and money on him actually looking after his coat, like scrubbing him and washing him? Is there more shampoo needed to get around his whole body?
Oh, we definitely go through a lot of shampoo when he does get washed. But it's been quite wet at home the last couple of months, so probably hasn't had as much prep in terms of, you know, getting a wash and a blow dry and a brush, because it's just been too muddy to do anything with. So I've been away working and left my dad and brothers in charge of the show team, which was risky. But no, they got him in a few days before we came here, and we started giving him a good wash, and he's quiet enough that he can hang out in the paddock, and we just bring him in close to the show and give him a quick spruce up.
And Emily, speaking of the weather, you had quite the adventurous drive up from Yarrawitch to Brisbane over the weekend.
Yeah, I think if we had left home any later, we potentially would have been stopped. We drove through, well, sleet started just out of Yooralla, and pretty much the whole way, Armidale, Guyra, Glen Innes, it was pretty interesting driving in the snow. Steady trip for us.
Yeah. Do you feel lucky that you actually managed to get through, given the highways, you know, closed on Saturday? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And mum at home, like, I think the power's out. This is day three with no power and lots of flooding. And yeah, I think we were probably very lucky to actually get through and have the cattle here.
Yeah. And Buster's gone up as part of a team of three that you'll start showing on Friday.
So, yeah.
And what's his future now?
He will, ECCA, I'd say, will be his last show that we take him to, and he'll go home and we'll put him out in the paddock, and the plan is to collect from him and use him as a sire in our own herd and potentially look at selling some semen in the future.
That is Emily Scrivener from the station Angus Stud, which is in northern New South Wales. Emily was speaking to Kim Honan about Buster, who has been crowned the heaviest bull at the ECCA, 1,356 kilos. That's bigger than most utes. That's a lot of bull. A lot of bull. Hey, well done to those who have successfully made it into the Country Hour's Darwin Cup sweepstake for 2025. So I've got here, well done to Slim from Virginia, Carl in the Dew, Graham from Darwin, Jill in Darwin, Morris in Leanya, Rod in Alice Springs, Lenny in McMinn's Lagoon, Andy at Howard Springs, Jason in the Narrows, Mark in Virginia, Judith from Malak, and Helen at Mount Riddick. Well done. You're all in the sweepstakes. Producer Fiona, sending you your horse right now via text line. Good luck. The cup's on this afternoon at 5:30. You'll be able to hear it on ABC Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? My name is Gilan Banu, aka Bolabaro. Nareyako, Rilipir Banu, yo.
Yo, my name is Davis Wirupanda, and I'm from Baniala. I work at Kulukula. My Yolngu name is Wadon. I'm a Yolngu man.
And you're listening to Country Hour.
Matt Brown with you this afternoon. If you've just tuned in, you've missed a lot. You've missed your chance to be in the Country Hour's Darwin Cup sweepstake, and you've missed our conversations about class actions and concerns that lawyers and investors are taking the majority of the money and it's not flowing to the victims. Tonight on Four Corners, there'll be a story focusing on two major class actions that happened in WA and the Northern Territory. Those class actions were focused on Aboriginal workers who had their wages stolen over decades. On the text line this afternoon, someone here says, mate, their wages have been stolen again. It's sick. And someone here says, Matt, perhaps your listener who wanted to fact check that Aboriginal people were forced to work might like to read the book Hidden Histories by Deborah Bird Rose. Amongst other things, she cites a report written in 1948 regarding the Vestey's Cattle Empire, which stated it has gained immensely from slave labour. Our text number 0487991057. We'll go and visit some farmers hanging out in the snow in just a moment, but first let's go to the Weather Bureau. Sally Cutter's there this afternoon. How are you, Sally?
Oh, not too bad, thanks.
Now, I got a text message this morning from a cattle producer claiming that it got to 2 degrees on the Sturt Plateau this morning. Would that be right?
Yeah, quite possibly. Daily water's got down to 1.3, which is actually a August record. So, yeah, so it's quite possible. And Tennant Creek, if anybody thought it was cold this morning, it was. It was 4.1, which looks like it was probably an annual record, and that was the previous was back in July of 1978.
Whoa. So Tennant Creek, it looks like, has just had its coldest morning ever.
Yep. In 57 years of records.
Wow.
Yeah, and even the August one, its last time was this cold, was, and it is an August record as well. And that was 1990. So it's a long time since it's been that cold in Tennant Creek.
Any other spots on the map that look to have broken their August record?
Not so much last night. The Daly Waters is an August record. The previous one was in 2014. And Delamere was 7.9. And that was, again, August 2014. But there was a couple the night before. Nooka equaled its coldest, it was 6.8, and again a 2014 date, and Bolalula got down to 5 degrees, not last night, the night before, and that was its coldest, and that was a 1994 record.
Right, so the systems that led to heavy snowfall in parts of New South Wales and even Queensland, is that what has also brought this really cool weather into the territory?
Yeah, it certainly helped. So we've got really dry air, we've got clear skies, and the combination of those two sort of just allows the heat to escape, and because dry air cools down faster than the humid air. But also, the winds have eased off just that little bit, which is why you're getting those really cold temperatures. And it's possibly why Tennant Creek has managed to, it's so cold, just because the winds have eased off, got trough going through Central Australia, the ridge has been pushed a bit further north, so you don't have that low-level jet or low-level fast winds just above the surface happening in the early hours of the morning. And so it's just allowed it to cool down.
So have we reached the peak of chilliness?
Probably. Tennant Creek at the moment, on the current forecast, we're looking at 9 for tonight, so, and just warming up. So we're probably either right at the bottom or pretty close to it. So I don't think it's going to go much colder, if any.
Okay. Meanwhile, what are winds doing? Because, again, I got a message this morning from someone who just said it was 60k an hour winds on the Barkly yesterday. Effing horrible.
Yeah, the winds have eased off. We've got that trough going. So it's windy down through sort of the southern Leicester and to the Simpson today. And the minimum at Tea Tree was actually much less than it was further north, just simply because the winds had eased off. So it just allowed those temperatures to cool down. So last night they got down to -0.1, whereas Alice Springs was 4.7. So, and that's just the wind down south. That's shoved the ridge north a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the winds easing off over the Barkly today. And we do have a new ridge pushing into the south. So the winds are going to start picking up.
Oh, right.
And unfortunately, yeah, so today is the quieter day. Then tomorrow, not quite. But then it's going to be more some moderate winds. And then we're going to start seeing the fresh winds return on Wednesday, and they're going to hang around for a few days. We'll probably start easing off as we go into the next weekend, as we do have another trough approaching, so a big trough approaching WA, and that's going to weaken the ridge out again. But we've got a few days of windy conditions if people don't want the wind.
No. I got a text here from Paul in Katherine, Sally Cutter. Paul says, yep, it was that cold in Katherine this morning that I went ice fishing on the Katherine River. I'm picturing Paul, you know, sitting there carving the ice out, dropping a line in, pulling out some poor half-frozen barramundi. That's how cold things are getting, Sally.
Well, yesterday at Tyndall is 7.1, and it was actually slightly warmer. It was 7.3 this morning. So, yeah, for Katherine, the barramundi probably going, what on earth?
Oh, just anything else we should be aware of? Oh, wait, hang a minute. This afternoon, let's say, I don't know, 5:30, what are the weather conditions going to be like in Fenny Bay, out of interest?
Well, we're probably going to be sort of northerly, northwesterly wind, sea breezes coming in, so the humidity is going to go up a little bit, probably around about 50%, and temperature probably around that 29, 30 degree mark.
Okay, thanks so much for your time.
That's okay.
It's National Science Week.
Across the ABC, we're celebrating Australia's most underrated animals.
Vote for your favourite.
Join me on ABC TV and iView for Dr. Anne's Secret Lives.
Get your science on this Science Week
on ABC Listen
and online.
It is 13 past one and you are tuned into the Country Hour. Some pretty incredible numbers that Sally Cutter just shared with us. So just repeating, it got down to 1.3 degrees at the Daily Waters pub this morning. It's never been that cold before on an August day at Daily Waters. That would have frozen the bras on the ceiling. That's cold. And Tennant Creek looks to have had its coldest morning ever at 4.1 degrees. The Katherine River's frozen over, according to Paul. We might want to fact check that one. And I wonder, on the weekend, did you see any of the pictures or videos of the snow that fell over parts of New South Wales and even Queensland? In the northern tablelands of New South Wales, there were some areas there that got up to 50 centimetres of snow. Todd Willock, he runs sheep and cattle and says it all came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, everything's come out the other side quite well. I was sort of preempting a fair bit of rain, actually. Wasn't quite expecting the snow, but so did a fair bit of feeding of sheep the day before, just getting prepared. And so everything was pretty right. Obviously, they would have done a little bit tough through that day and night. But then I was able to get back out again yesterday and do a little bit more to feeding. And everything has held up pretty well. Sheep-wise, we were lucky that we didn't have any animals really freshly shorn, quite a way off the board for us. So and also, we haven't commenced lambing yet, so we're a September lambing. But I imagine for any producers with freshly shorn, or I guess sheep shorn within the last month or so, or new little lambs hitting the deck, it would have been very, very challenging. I imagine there's been a few losses about. I haven't heard any real stories at the moment, but I imagine it's been a little bit tough for a few. The worst thing for us, I think, has probably been some steers that were due to go to the feedlot, and I imagine we've dropped a little bit of weight there. They did it pretty tough through that day and night, and still a bit challenging because everything's so wet still. But yeah, keeping them topped up with a bit of silage to try and fill them up before we can eventually get a truck in to get them out.
Todd, you mentioned there, of course, you're not lambing, which is very lucky with the snow that you've had. And you haven't, as you say, heard too much about lamb losses yet, but would you be expecting that there might be some considerable losses?
I know calves are a fair bit different to lambs, but we are dropping a few calves, and it was quite remarkable to see, you know, even just day-old calves handle it quite well. There was one little fellow that I tucked in underneath the shed there for the night, but he came through the other side fine. But in terms of lambs, I'd say anything born, certainly on that day of the snowfall, and possibly a day or two before, would have really struggled, and I imagine there'd be a few losses. It's not like it's sort of been a week of absolute horrible weather, so I guess that's one thing.
Grace.
But there would be that sort of 24, 48 sort of hour period where I think it would have been pretty challenging for a little lamb.
That is Todd Woolock, who runs sheep and cattle in that northern area of New South Wales Tablelands. There's some pretty amazing pictures up on our website this afternoon if you go searching for ABC Rural. It's 16 past one. I'll take you to Hart's Range next. That's Lee Kernaghan, and you are tuned into the Country Hour. It's been a big few days at Hart's Range in Central Australia. The famous picnic races drew a big crowd. There was also plenty of rodeo and camp drafting action as well. Well done to Anthony Haig from Athella Outback Hideaway. He won the Red Centre Camp Draft Open for 2025. He caught up with our reporter Charles Geary after his winning ride.
Anthony Haig just won the Open Camp Draft here at Hart's Range.
Congratulations, a massive win for you there. How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty good. I'd say we'll have a few drinks later on to celebrate it all. You know, we had three good rounds. Three consistent rounds that got it for us, so yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the rides you had here today. You looked electric out there, mate. You had a great control of the horse.
So the first round, run a 91. It was good round. Second round, I run an 89. It was another good round. Top scored in both rounds. In the final there, I had a bit of a tough one there. I didn't know if we'd get him bent round the first peg, but we ended up getting a 86 or something, and that was enough to win the draft.
Talk to us a little bit about how it feels when you're on the back of the horse there trying to guide that calf through. Give us a little bit of a rundown of what the feeling is on the back of that.
You got a fair bit going on there. It's only one stride difference between making a mistake and making a good run. And it's sort of like a split second decision on what you got to do. So you got a bit going on.
It's been a big week in general here at Hart's Range for the Red Centre Camp Draft. Have you enjoyed all of the weekend, everything that's gone on here?
Yeah, no, it's been a good weekend. Every weekend, every year down here, it's a great weekend. Great cattle, great arena. Just the atmosphere is unreal down here. Anyone looking to come down and do it, they should definitely come down to this draft.
You've got your horse next to you. Can you give us a little bit of an introduction and tell us about it?
So the horse I rode today, it's not actually mine, it's Beck Cadzo's. She had a bit of a stack on it 12 months, 18 months ago. And then I just started riding it for her, and then she's been happy for me to ride it, so I'm happy to get the win for her horse.
Beck Cadzo's horse, I believe, if I'm correct, she was also one of the podium finishers here today as well. And so it's a bit rude taking a horse and then beating her in the event.
Beck, she ended up second and third place in the Open as well. So first three horses were all her horses. So says something, the horses are going pretty good.
Mate, there's been a little bit of talk about champagne. I've heard some of the bottles rattling. Some big celebrations ahead of you tonight.
There's been talk about the champagne and that. I think we're going to cap it to the ladies on the amount they can drink. But we'll definitely have a good time tonight.
and plans after the Hearts Range weekend back out there to Athel Outback Hideaway?
Yeah, back out home after this. Do a bit more work at home and then head back off drilling again.
That is Anthony Haig, who won this year's Red Centre Open Camp Draft. And that's a hell of an effort by Anthony. He recently suffered a very serious injury. It only happened a month or so ago. So an incredible effort by him to get back into the saddle and take out the Open Camp Draft there at Hearts Range. And you heard him there mention that his good friend Beck Cadzo also recently had a fall from a horse. Let's face it, rodeos and camp drafts, they can be a bit of a risky sport. And that's why when you go along to one of these events, you'll always see the paramedics on standby. They're there and they're ready to go. Greg and Karen Barth, they were at Hearts Range to patch up any injuries and keep everybody safe. Greg says the rodeo and camp draft circuit takes them right across the territory.
We certainly do a lot of camp drafts and rodeos throughout the territory. The one we're at now is Hearts Range, obviously. And, of course, we also do Brunette, where there's two at Brunette during the year. We do their races, we do their draft, and also their rodeo. Boralula is another good one, and Timber Creek, Pussycat Boar, Daly Waters. You know, they're all over the place where we actually go. It's quite amazing throughout the territory.
Based out of Bundaberg, how did you get into the territory and doing these events?
That's a really good question. We, of course, do a lot of jobs, right? We've got a very large crew that do a lot of jobs throughout Queensland and into New South Wales and some Victoria. And we were asked to come up into the territory about 5-6 years ago and by Daly Waters, actually. And Kimberly Harris at Highway Inn asked us to come up. And we came up and did a job there and had a fairly major incident there. And all of a sudden, all these people wanted us to do their drafts and their rodeo, so it was born out of Daly Waters, really, and it's just gone on from strength to strength from there.
When you come up and do these events as a paramedic, what does an event typically look like? Obviously, they're very remote. How do you adjust your work to that?
Yes, look, I'm used to working remote because we do a lot of remote work in the Gulf and far, far western Queensland, New South Wales. So we're sort of used to that kind of work. It is a very different work to the East Coast based guys because there you have a patient and you're attending to the patient. And you make a phone call and there's an ambulance there very quickly. You know, maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, and you've got an ambulance on scene. Course very different for us up here. We have to carry extensive equipment. I'm highly trained in a lot of different skill sets so that we can do everything on scene, and we can often wait many hours so that we can relocate our patient by either the RFDS or through care flight, depending which part of the territory we're in. So we heavily rely on those services because they come to us, and sometimes it's extremely remote where we are.
Rodeos and camp draft are inherently pretty dangerous events. Are you sort of holding your breath throughout this as a medical professional?
I love them, actually. My wife just doesn't like rodeo. She, as from a medical perspective, I love it. I really do. We also do a lot of state and national motocross around the country. Now you're talking dangerous. And, of course, the camp drafts have their issues. Any equestrian event, we often face problems. Any equestrian event.
What's the longest amount of time you've had to be with a patient when you've been waiting to get out of these remote areas?
Yes, I can remember that very vividly in the territory. We had a young lady that was with a very serious spinal injury, and she was way out past Pussycat Boar out there, and it took us 5.5 hours before we could get an aircraft in to extricate her out. They were trying very hard to get the plane, but of course resources were taken up elsewhere, and we eventually did get the aircraft in, and we took care of her, which is a long time. You know, I'm not a nurse, so I'm not good into nursing. I'm a critical care paramedic, so I'm not sort of into nursing too much, but so it was a challenge taking care of her for that many hours, but it was really good. You know, my wife finished up doing her toenails for her to help her to keep her at peace and keep her relaxed, and it was just a way of taking care of the patient.
Lucy.
You've mentioned your wife a couple of times now. We're at the Red Santa Camp Draft. I've been told she's also got a pretty big role here today as well.
Yes, Karen's upstairs there. She's in uniform, ready to come out and help me, but she's upstairs. She's been doing the announcing all week, so she loves doing the announcing, and they love having her do it. So, yep, she's up there, and that's what she's doing, squawking away in the background.
So the listeners right now, that's her voice they're hearing in the background?
That's correct. Yes, it is.
Finally, Ringers and Cowboys, if you've got one request, one thing you would like to see them do more, what would be that?
Yeah, they're a little bit difficult on taking care of sometimes. We've got some very, very tough people out here, some of the toughest people I've seen anywhere in Australia, and they are a little bit blasé about healthcare, and we'd really like to see them take care of themselves a little bit better, especially when it comes to infections and just taking care of things like cuts and things like that. So
that is Greg Barth. He and his wife, Karen, run the Best Medic Group, and they provide medical care at sporting events like they're at Hart's Range, and also do a bit of commentating on the side. How good? On tomorrow's Country Hour, we will have a wrap of the Hart's Range races. And also tomorrow, let's talk about vaccines, because in some big livestock news, a world-first vaccine to protect livestock from foot and mouth disease has been developed. It has proven effective. Let's talk about this on tomorrow's program. Hope you enjoy the rest of your picnic day public holiday. The Darwin Cup is on this afternoon, and they're set to jump at 5:30 this afternoon. You will hear it here via ABC Radio. Again, well done to those involved in the Country Hours Darwin Cup sweepstake to Slim from Virginia, Carl and the Doo, Graham from Darwin, Jill in Darwin, Morris in Leenya, Rod in Alice Springs, Lenny in McMinn's Lagoon, Andy at Howard Springs, Jason in the Narrows, Mark in Virginia, Judah from Alack, and Helen out at Mount Riddick Station, wishing you all of the best. That's it for today's Country Hour. Keep it rural.